You are listening to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast with Pat James.
Welcome, everybody, to the Week 2 edition of the lineup recap here on The Ride-In DFS and Betting Podcast. It's a traditional edition. I'm in my vehicle. We are on the way to play some golf. I'm in the finals, the championship match of my league. And hopefully that goes better than Week 2 went. So it was a very strange week because I got, hopefully you tuned into the podcast and the Final Thoughts live stream on Twitter. We did that at about 10 a.m. It was just a very strange week because I feel like I got a lot of things right and it still did not result in a winning week. So let's go through the lineup. Let's talk about how many points I scored, how many head-to-heads I won, and then we'll talk about where it went right, where it went wrong. So I played at quarterback Derek Carr. I kind of mentioned on the live stream that I was leaning Carr because of the weather in San Francisco. The weather really didn't end up to be an issue, but obviously Trey Lance breaks his foot out for the year after only scoring 2 fantasy points. It really did. I mean, there was about 20%, at least I saw in the, I think it was the $50 double up or the $25 double up. About 20% of people had Trey Lance, so that hurts. Those people probably did not do too well. I had Derek Carr. I played 3 running backs, Saquon, Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette. I played the 3 wide receivers, Davante Adams, Curtis Samuel, Greg Dortch. Took a goose egg from Albert O at tight end. My second goose egg at tight end. Wouldn't be a DFS season if you're not getting bagels at tight end. And then I did play the Cincinnati defense, which, you know, was going to be 40% owned. Tough fade in cash because if they go off, you're basically out of the money. Or at least severely behind the 8-ball. All right. So I think I scored a little bit over 100 points. I think it was 102, 104, something of that nature. I do have it here. I won 38% of head-to-heads, right? So week 1 was 84, week 2, 38. Hopefully that turns around from there. Did not cash any double ups. The cash lineup just was a net negative this week, obviously. But like I mentioned, I feel like I got so many things correct in terms of usage, and it just did not unfold correctly, right? So we'll go the things we got right. Obviously, Greg Dortch, you know, very little competition for targets. The game script ended up being okay. He catches a bunch of passes and a touchdown. Same thing for Curtis Samuel. I was not on Jahan Dotson in cash. Some people preferred Jahan Dotson to Curtis Samuel because he was a little bit cheaper and he saw the 2 touchdowns last week. I firmly planted my flag that I thought Curtis Samuel would continue to see a bevy of targets and a couple carries, which makes him a better play. I personally think that that worked out. He surpassed 20 DraftKings points at 4,600. Very nice play. Derek Carr even worked out. He almost hit 20 DK points at 6K. Like the cash line was like 120 in most spots. That's how you know the chalk failed in a certain week. So at running back, where I think I was right and I would do it again, but the results did not show, was in all 3 spots. Barkley had a ton of touches. Mixon had a ton of touches. Lenny Fournette had a ton of touches, and they just did not produce with them. If I had it to do again, I probably would play all 3. And I was correct, and I beat this drum all week, both on the recorded show and on the live show. I was not on the Daryl Henderson hype train. He was like 35-ish% owned in cash games. I knew and I planted my flag on this, that everything McVay was saying all week was going to lead to Akers assuming more of the lead back role. It happened for the most part. It was kind of a 50-50 split. Henderson absolutely got bailed out by being in when they scored a touchdown. He was actually just subbed in, and then he got the touchdown. Little bit of variance there, but he had like 10 touches for like barely any yardage. Got in the end zone, ended up with, he may have had a catch or something to get him to 10 points. But like that usage is abysmal, and I saw it coming from a good distance. Did not play him in cash, did not play him in tournaments. I completely faded Henderson. He didn't kill you because he got the touchdown. And he also, here's the issue. He could have unlocked Amon-Ra St. Brown for some people. Amon-Ra St. Brown was a consideration for me, but I decided to go with Lenny at 65. Basically, what I was looking at doing was going down to Henderson if that was an option, going up to Amon-Ra St. Brown from Curtis Samuel, and then going down from Albert O to Juwan Johnson, who was my favorite $2,500 punt tight end. So there's some things that I thought were, those are the things that I thought were okay, right? All those decisions, all those calls were solid, would do them again. Some didn't work out in terms of production, right? Barkley, Mixon, and Fournette combined for like, I don't know, 30 DK points. That was kind of sad, despite all of the work that they got. What can you do? The things that we did wrong, right? Albert O, 3,700 tight end. Yikes. Looking back on it, I mean, I saw that usage in the last three quarters, thought he might have turned a new leaf. He got two targets, but, I mean, what's his ceiling, honestly? What ceiling has he ever showed us? I talked about it in week one, to play or to, you know, not try to guess at the unknowns. Alberto is still kind of an unknown, and if you're going to play an unknown, you might as well just pay all the way down for a guy like Juwan Johnson. Or I know I saw some people played Kyle Granson. We mentioned him. That was probably the way to go rather than playing an unknown in Albert O at 3,700. And then there was Davante Adams, right? Catches the touchdown, catches a few passes, but just does not get the unbridled target share, you know, just absolute dart fest from Kyler Murray. I haven't really delved into why exactly that was the case, but he did not have a 17 target week. That ended up being wrong, right? So what we probably should have done, or what the people who won, and if you take a look, I mean, if you played double ups this week, go back and look at the people who cashed. Obviously, there are some sharp people who cashed with Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? They put Amon-Ra in the lineup, and he's pretty much the sole reason that half the people in double ups cashed. But then most of the lineups that I was looking through were like tournament lineups, like Lamar with Bateman and Adams with a Tyreek bring back. I saw a ton of those at the top. So it almost was like guys that, I'm not going to say didn't know what they were doing, but, you know, this week, since all the chalk, or a good portion of the chalk failed, there's going to be a lot of players who did not build according to an optimal, quote-unquote, lineup in that top bracket of double ups, you know? So if you were someone who didn't cash this week, and you had a similar type of construction to what I had, or you had, you know, a similar type of lineup that, you know, the touches were there, the production was there, and it just failed based on efficiency, or failed based on variance, I think you're okay. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Now, did we get some things wrong, though? Absolutely. Amon-Ra St. Brown has had 8 catches in, like, 8 straight games. He probably should have been in your cash lineup and my cash lineup. I love him. I have him on every redraft team I play in because I love him so much. I don't know why I didn't play him this week. You know, had him last week. Don't know why we didn't play him that this week. He was priced up a little bit, but I just was a little bit too enamored with the workloads of those 3 running backs. It happens. Let's talk about tournaments, because I had a really, really good tournament team that definitely cut into my cash game losses. I made 5 tournament teams. 2 were Tua teams. If you listen to the live stream, I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast. I think I did. But I definitely mentioned it on the Twitter Spaces live stream that Tua double stack was my favorite tournament play. It ended up, like, far and away being the best tournament play. So I did have a little bit of Tua double stacks. I think 2 of my 5 lineups were Tua stacks. 1 was a double, 1 was a single. Obviously brought back with a little bit of Ravens. And, you know, I just did not have the nuts at defense or at running back, right? I mean, but when you have 5 guys that combine for 200 points, you're going to have a pretty solid lineup no matter what. But yeah, I had, like, you know, some of them had Mixon, some of them had Josh Jacobs, some of them had Rex Burkhead, who only caught like 2 passes. So the running backs ruined my week this week, but I definitely had the right idea with that stack. Obviously, avoiding the Bengals defense, it played out, couldn't have played out any truer to what I thought. Said it on here last week. So we were right about that you should have avoided the Bengals defense. They kind of protected Cooper Kupp, or Cooper Rush. Keep calling him Cooper Kupp. Protected Cooper Rush, gave him some easy throws, you know, ran the ball a good bit, and won the friggin' game with Cooper Rush at quarterback. Could have saw it coming a mile away. Told you that, gave you the anecdotal story of Jimmy Clausen and the Bears playing the Seahawks when the Seahawks were absolute chalk. And it, you know, they protected Clausen. He threw slants and handed the ball off, and, you know, they lost. They got smashed, but, you know, it wasn't really a conducive to a DST in daily fantasy. So what did we learn? I feel like some takeaways that I had from this week were, number one, the chalk defense does not have to be pressed, especially if you don't think the spot is right, like I didn't. I either want to, for tight end, I think I'm going to avoid this, you know, 3.7, 3.8, 3.9K range going forward, unless there is like a screaming value there. I think the idea needs to be pay down to, you know, under to closer to 3K, or, you know, get up to 45 or 48 or something, and, you know, get you a guy like Dallas Goedert or Kyle Pitts or TJ Hockenson, someone that you know is going to be involved in the offense, right? We did not know for sure how Albert O's day was going to go. It ended up obviously not going well at all. All right. So that will do it for the ride-in recap. I will be back. I'm getting a ton of great feedback from Twitter Spaces. This week was kind of crazy. If you didn't tune into Twitter Spaces, my whole family had the stomach bug while I was doing the Twitter Spaces on Sunday. Like, I tried to start it 3 different times, and every time I started it, someone would just projectile vomit across the living room. So it was a rough, I was actually even not like paying 100% attention around lock on Sunday because everybody was so sick. I like made my lineups and kind of just, you know, checked my phone a couple times to make sure there was nothing crazy inactive wise. And, you know, normally I'm like super tuned in to what's happening an hour before. I'm maybe tinkering, making an extra tournament lineup or two or something like that, but I just couldn't do that this week. This week, week three, I am going to try to open the floor. After I say my piece, I might try to open the floor, let some people. I mean, we had, I think there was about 80 people in there live at 10 a.m., which for, to be honest, you know, that's, I mean, that's obviously not a ton, but with like CBS and Yahoo and all everybody else doing spaces at the same time, competing spaces seems like a pretty good number. And then like 300 to 400 people replayed it in the next hour or two up until lock. So if it's reaching that many people, 300 to 400, that's fine. This podcast reaches a multiplier of that number. So, you know, obviously everybody that listens to this is not tuning into that, but if we can get everybody over there at 10 a.m., I know everybody has, you know, people have things going on, but get into that space. We'll open up the floor. We'll maybe have a little bit of a discussion. I'll bring people up to talk about what you need to talk about. We'll see how it goes. We'll try that this week. Nobody wants to talk, then I'll just, you know, give my final thoughts, core four, and get out of there for the rest of the year. All right, that'll do it. Hopefully you guys cashed a little bit better than I did in cash games this week. Just was not to be. Two and company kind of saved the day though. So it wasn't a terrible week overall. Not great in cash though. All right, we'll talk to you Thursday or Friday with my rundown for week three. See ya.